user experience, and we're now up to final thoughts. Okay, so what are the final thoughts for this unit? So really, we can understand that user experience is something which is not super well defined at the moment. We know that even though it's been really informally understood as part of HCI for a long period of time, and we've expanded that out from the traditional quantitative to the more romantic, if you like, qualitative, then we are seeing that user experience is off of the off of the interface directly. It's often not just about the interface, but about everything that goes around it, the packaging, the way that we conceptualize the application as a whole, our liking of it. It's not about the old school idea of work, it's about enjoyment too, and it's also understanding that computers are beyond just work. They're now into the normal, if you like, sort of home domain space. Now, we've covered the ways that we design things, so we how we elicit requirements, how we model those requirements, design those requirements with users, design the interfaces, and understand what users actually want, so that we're preparing everything for software engineering. Remember, when we talk about design, we don't mean visual design directly. We mean design of the information space, design of the interactions, etc. But we don't mean the direct physical design. And indeed, we don't need to if we take account of things like design systems and design languages, which are pre-created, and best practice suggests that that's what we use, as opposed to trying to build new design languages or systems, if because we're not the graphic designers or the UX designers directly. Okay, development-wise, we can surmise that it's a good idea, I think, to use Agile when you know what you're going to build, cowboy coding when you don't know what you're going to build, that your that things like DevOps and microservices architectures fit in with our idea of the separation of concerns. They're also useful so that we can parallelize the tasks, and so that we can develop solutions to user problems as we go. Okay, so that we don't have to wait around for new releases, we can update things as we move forward. We've also got a set of heuristics which are useful for us to pass on, to understand and then pass on those heuristics and design constraints to software engineers, so that they better understand what it is that we're expecting from them. And these are now extended beyond the traditional user experience, sorry, the traditional HCI quantitative aspects such as accessibility and usability, and into the more UX effacing, aesthetic, subjective, intangible, qualitative aspects as we move forward. We also need to understand how we can validate this. So when we think about how can we validate the design process. So for instance, we know that we've got user requirements, we've designed the interfaces and the interaction styles with those users, we've put them into a format that software engineers can understand, we've given them to the software engineers along with a set of heuristics which would and constraints which we'd like them to enact based on our four different potted principles chapters. And then we now need to test whether all that stuff has made it through, and so that's what we're doing in the validation. We're validating the initial users. Now, there's different ways of doing this. For instance, A/B testing is one way that's used a lot in user experience design, and we can see that A/B testing is very related, similar and related to the pre-test, post-test. So therefore, what we're thinking about is that we've got a group of people. We give them one aspect, one sort of version of software. We give the same group another version of software, and we see which they like best. We can also have multiple groups given different parts of different bits of the software. So maybe it's not within groups or within subjects it's called, but maybe it's between subjects. It's an old language. We know we should be using participants, and to see what they think. Okay. We also know that as practically applied, it's not quite so straightforward. It's a bit messy. It's not quite so clean and clear and precise as we've laid it out here. We typically have lots of other constraints that are more socio than technical. And we know that those constraints are something which we will have to deal with. And we've got some interesting ways, or at least we've got some ways where we can try and do the best we have, given the resources and the time that we've got available to us, given to us by commissioners and by our own employers. Finally, what you should really be thinking of doing if you're into this sort of topic is to look for the Encyclopedia of Human-Computer Interaction. This is an excellent piece of work. It's in its second edition. It's written by lots of the great and the good in the field. They're experts in the field in which they're writing. You don't need a book for each particular part, although it does run to like 4,000 plus pages of information. But for each thing, such as building a scenario and persona, then it goes through that in a lot of detail, but you don't need the level of a book, a full book, because really for most well-trained technical people it's not that necessary. That level of detail isn't that necessary, but the entire encyclopedia is really a useful resource, and I suggest you have a skim through it if that's what you're if that's what you're looking for. Okay, and with that, we will finish this one and move on to the appendices.